ain't talking about no revolution. And I'm not talking about no demonstration. I'm talking about having a good time. I'm talking about having a good time this summer.
Sun. Look out, baby, the saints are coming through, and it's all over now, baby blue. The highway is for gamblers, better use your sense. Take what you have gathered from coincidence. The empty-handed painter from your streets is drawing crazy patterns on your sheets. The sky too is falling in over you, and it's all over now, baby blue. Leave your stepping stones behind. There's something that calls for you. Forget the debt you've left. That will not follow you. Your lover who has just walked through the door has taken off his blankets from the floor.
Understand you've given up trying to lay low, avoid confrontation. That's all right. You've always been a little simple. There's times to do that. Maybe this is one of them. I don't know. I don't know about much of anything these days. What do you have to say about a generation that's been taught that Archie Bunker is poison and Big Bird is righteous shit? My generation is despicable. It's no wonder that kids are the way they are today. We've turned out two generations of she-males and demonic lesbians. I feel like I'm trapped in a cage with sinister monkeys throwing their malicious turds at me. Turds that made from adolescent rage and communism. I think maybe the Jamaicans next door have the right idea. They've turned the apartment next door into a dance club. I can't hear a goddamn thing over here, and the walls are shaking, the clock keeps falling off. You know, I had a dream last night, and there was a hawk in it. I don't know what it means. There was also scenes of a desert. Reminds me of Al West. Maybe the West is calling me. The last time I went out west was when I met Betty. Well, she was a character. Sassy redheaded bitch. She used to make and distribute porn with her husband out in Apache Junction out of a trailer. We were both big time meth heads. We used to have some crazy conversations. She was an incredible fuck. Wasn't that attractive though? I mean, she had a nice ass, but you know, her face wasn't all that. But you know how it is. Haven't you ever been totally drawn in by someone that you're not really attracted to at first? It's like you're talking to them and you begin to become intensely focused on everything they're saying, to the point where you begin to forget everything else around you, even exist, and the world just seems to disappear as you hang on each and every word. It's like the world just disappears, and there's an imaginary cord of light that goes from them to you, and suddenly you just feel all good inside. You feel warm right in your chest, and then they touch you. And that's when your lust just bubbles up suddenly from out of nowhere, without warning. You lose all resistance at that point. From that point forward, you feel uncontrollably drawn to them. Because, well, the beast has been awakened. As a rule, I usually don't visit previous haunts, though. But this hawk thing really has me thinking. Maybe it could be an omen. You know, the natives, they believe that crossing paths with particular animals can have a special meaning. I guess you can read meaning into anything if you really let your conscious mind relax and let your imagination take over. It's like you can see all sorts of possibilities and scenarios flashing in front of you, and you're way up high. Well, a hawk is like that. It's a very powerful medicine. You're way up in the sky, looking down at your possibilities and your projects, floating in the wind, waiting for just the right moment to swoop down and take what you need to live. I mean, really live. I'm not talking about that shallow, get up, go to work, get drunk, go home, jerk off living. I'm talking about really being physical. Mentally and physically pushing the envelope. I'm talking about waking up at 4 a.m. with a rigorous pattern of daily exercise, practicing a martial art, living life with a vengeance. People say it takes 3 weeks to change a habit. Bullshit. It takes about 30 seconds if you have the resolve and the determination to become a true badass right here, right now. If you can believe this, you're going to get stronger as we speak. Can't you feel it already? You just can't get too tied up in the details, that's all. You can't make plans so much as guidelines. I mean, you make your to-do list with your 4 or 5 things on it, and then you go out the door. It's like in that movie, Last Samurai. Remember when Tom Cruise was talking to the Yatsumoto guy, and he asked him, do you believe a man can change his destiny? And Yatsumoto replies, I think a man does what he can until his destiny is revealed. I thought that was pretty deep. Speaking of samurai, there's an old story. A long time ago, there was this young samurai, and he had a fiance, and they were madly in love. Well, one day his fiance was out by herself walking through the woods, and she got attacked by a tiger. And her fiance couldn't save her, and she died. And from the depths of his soul, he vowed that one day he would revenge her death by seeking out that tiger and killing it. So he took his bow and arrow, and he went to the forest month after month for damn near a year in search of this tiger. And finally, one day in the forest, he comes up, he sees a sleeping tiger off in the distance, and he assumes that this must be the tiger that killed his wife, or his fiance. So he draws his bow, he aims, and he lets go, and the arrow finds its mark, pierces the tiger's body real deep, drawing and mounting another one. He slowly approaches the dead tiger to confirm that it's dead. But he finds out that his arrow is stuck into a rock, a stripe-colored stone that looks like a sleeping tiger. So anyway, after this, everybody in town is making a big deal about the guy because he's able to pierce a stone with an arrow. They all talk about how strong he was because he could do that, and they all tried to test him. But the problem was, every time he tried to do it again, he couldn't do it. The arrows just bounce off the rock. That's because he knew that it was a rock now and not a tiger. You see, when he knew it was a tiger, his resolve was so profound that he was actually able to physically pierce a stone with his arrow. But now, because he knows it's not the tiger, he can't do it. So what's the moral of this story? A strong will can even pierce stone. In other words, resolve can serve as a powerful vehicle for achieving seemingly impossible things. It's like Jesus and the mustard seed moving the mountains. You know what I'm talking about. So you're sitting there doing what you're doing, thinking what you think, playing with the internet, doing the same thing day after day, and you want to change, but you just wish someone would come along and give you that little extra push just to get you going. Well, this could be it, my friends. You know, a life lived pursuing pleasure just keeps you asleep like a zombie. Maybe it's time to wake up. Don't worry about feeling discomfort. That's how you know you're doing it right. When you're doing the right thing, you're going to feel discomfort. Because that's your limiting mind throwing feelings up at you to try to get you to stop. Because it just wants to keep you down where everything's safe and boring. But you may say, well, I like it safe and boring. Well, of course you do. We all do to some extent. But maybe you're aware of another voice inside you. It seems to be getting bigger and brighter and more persistent every day. It says, there's more out there. Go for it. You can do it. If that's the case, then I'm talking to you, my friend. The Hawk medicine teaches us respect for boundaries, even if we think the other person doesn't deserve it. It's a beacon for us to find our way back to before we became lost to the wilderness. It helps nourish our spirits and seize our second chances in life. When I finally left Arizona, Betty's husband died from an overdose, so she went up north to Oregon to get clean. She went to some meetings, got a couple years sobriety, married some old bastard up there who inherited $1 million. She used to call me and complain about how bad the sex was. That poor son of a bitch even bought her a brand new BMW. I don't know who's worse off, him for being a sucker or her for being a kept woman. I guess they're both owned by their desires. So you see, Ruby, I don't really care what you do at this point. I'm tired of arguing with you. I'm tired of trying to persuade you. You're grown up now. You think for yourself. Or at least you think you do. You can go off and hide if you want. Be invisible. Don't think about anything. But that's not the American way. It's not my way. The commies may have gotten to you, but they'll never get me. Not without a fight, anyway. I've got to go. Got to pack my bags. I'm going on a trip.
You know what it's like. I don't gotta tell you who puts up a fight. Walking out of hell now. When you fought Piranha and you fought the cold, there's nobody with you. Yes, you're all alone.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
Show.
Hey, Ruby. I traded my guitar and I bought some runes and I sold my laptop for some cash. I've been on the road since 6 this morning. I should be in Tallahassee by 2. I'll take a break and then try to zip through Alabama so I can get some sleep. I'm already feeling tired. Bored. Somebody stole my fucking CD player in Tampa. It's gonna be a long trip, not it? It might be good for me, though. It's good to delay gratification once in a while. It toughens you up. It's part of growing up. You know, most deviant behavior comes from the inability to defer gratification. In fact, in an ideal situation, the parents both model and exemplify self-control, and then they teach it to the child through intervention whenever necessary. This, unfortunately for me, never occurred, but that's all right. I have plenty going on in my brain to keep me occupied. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I really was looking forward to zoning out to some Hank Williams. It takes 3 days to get to Arizona. The world makes its own music. The world is full of sounds. Words are sounds. They're powerful sounds. Maybe the most powerful. Just think about it. Ideas turned into sounds. Sounds with agreed upon meanings. I was thinking about how to communicate my reality to everybody. But the problem is, most people, they don't really care about my reality. The puzzle is, how can we find a reality to agree upon that everybody likes? If such a thing is possible. What if we were to imagine that there's no consequences for anything? And then when we die, it's the most wonderful thing ever for everybody. No matter if you're good or if you're bad. If I was to be a preacher in a pulpit and give a sermon that made everybody feel it, that we were all full of the Holy Spirit, and I made them forget that there ever was a problem in the world at all, in the first place, I swear they'd make me a god. Whatever the case may be, it's essential to live in your own reality. That much I know. It's like, say you're nervous, and I say to you, tell me your phone number backwards. So you start rattling off 9, 4, 6, 7. And I snap my fingers. And you're still following what I'm saying. You're totally following it now. And if you keep doing that, listening to me, you can choose to focus on my words, or the message behind the words, or even the spaces between the words. Because as long as you're listening and focusing on something, reality is sliding around you, in front of you, and back of you, and all around you. And as you become aware of everything in your peripheral vision, you can realize that it's just so easy to just let things pass without having to give it a second thought. Because thinking just gets in the way. It gets in the way of the real reality anyway. You know what I mean? So I'm there on this imaginary pulpit, giving an imaginary sermon to imaginary people about how great the spirit of life is, and all reality is just energy being converted from one thing to another, and y'all feeling happy, joyous, and free, like you can do anything you want and never get in trouble for it. And everybody feels real good and warm inside, and they want to look out for each other because they're like family. We're all brothers and sisters joined together. And wouldn't that just be great? I mean, we all now have this agreed upon experience, agreed upon meaning, common reality made from the collective sounds of our own hearts, beaten up through our minds and out through my words. That's the music I can live with. It's a fact, if the parents can't control their own impulses, then the child becomes stressed out, causing waves in the frontal cortex to slow down. As the child grows older, he tries to control this with extra stimulation in dangerous or pleasurable pursuits. When you get excited and enjoy talking to your friends, all them chemicals that make you feel good, they get released in there, in your brain. Well, some people, they don't get enough of this chemical because they learned a long time ago to tell themselves that they're no good and they don't deserve to feel good because mommy and daddy, they never reflected nothing back to them to make them believe it. So their chemicals don't get produced and they don't feel that same kind of happiness when they're with everybody else. So they seek extreme conditions just so they can feel normal. So, Ruby, needless to say, it's going to be a long car ride without my fucking CD player. But hopefully, I'll find some interesting company along the way. I'll talk to you when I get through Alabama.
Isn't lying, it's loose in a lady lingers, saying she is lost and choking on hello. For each other.
Well, the midnight headlight find you on a rainy night, street grade up ahead, slow me down, making no time. But I gotta keep rolling. I close the windshield wiper, slapping out a tempo.
Thank you. chimney with a sonic boom. Windows started trembling with a sonic boom. Boom. A cold girl will kill you in a darkened room.
My truck stalled out in Mobile. And I don't have enough money to get it fixed. So while I was at the mechanics, I went down the street to the strip club. Now I'm shacked up with one of the girls. She's something else, man. She lives in a trailer. Lots of tattoos. Brunette. Got the whole Kat Von D thing going on. Really hot, very sexy, very crazy. I've been staying at her place. She has a lot of strange interests. Frankly, she scares me a little bit. I've been reading some of her books. She has a really big library. Her trailer, it ain't like no other trailer you ever seen. She calls it the Purple Palace. You go inside, it's got all of this really expensive, satiny-looking purple shit everywhere. Gold. It's really out of this world, man. You'd have to believe it to see it. You know, think about all this, Ruby, if you stop to think about it. It's not difficulty that makes something bad. If anything, it makes things interesting. It's like those people who have all those phobias and those fears and they're afraid to leave the house. And they go to the doctor, the head shrinker, and he makes them go away. Makes them picture themselves in situations on imaginary slides and still pictures. And they remain comfortable while they just sit back and look at themselves, watching their fears just disappear. You know, did you know that you can start at the end of a memory and rewind it backwards? And that this will actually flatten out the neurons? This has a very powerful effect. I know this from experience. I remember when I was about 2, hiding under the dining room table crying because my dad came home drunk. He turned into a monster. He was chasing me all over the place with his hair messed up like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. You know, speaking of Jack Nicholson, did you know that he claims to have slept with over 2,000 women? Some of them with their mothers. He's quoted as saying, "I'm not going to pretend I haven't been a rogue most of my life." And he adds, "I'd love to sleep with Britney Spears. I just don't have the energy. I just can't do the dance." He cracks me up, man. Apparently back in the day, he could perform several times a night. And one time, he stopped in the middle of fucking some bitch to go eat an entire apple pie, and then he came back. Only Jack Nicholson could do that bullshit. So my dad's chasing me around the living room and I'm scared to death because something's different about him. He's drunk. He's got the devil in him. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even him anymore. At first I thought he was just playing around, but he kept getting scarier. and there was a strange look in his eyes. He started chasing me around the living room and cornered me under the kitchen table. Well, I just sat there crying until he passed out. That was a long time ago. It's all in the past now. Just a movie. But I can choose to replay or ignore anytime I want. That's the funny thing about memories. You can never get rid of them. They're there forever. It's like an imaginary bookshelf with books on it. But you can't take any of the books away, and you can't rearrange them. You can only add a new one to the front of the stack. Well, memories are like that. You have to cover them. You have to cover the bad ones up with new ones, better ones, good ones. Sometimes I think God places difficulties in our lives, not to test us, but to get us to move into a different direction. This stripper bitch, her name's Shelly. I kind of dig her. She's got a unique point of view on a lot of shit. I think she might be in some kind of weird cult. She's got a lot of books about mind control. She's really kinky in bed. I think I'll stick around for a while. This could get interesting.
Change your name when so many love you. Is it the Thank you.